Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hey, welcome to Embarrassment of Riches. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, you're getting better, Laura.
I feel like that was a better lead-in.
I feel like it was.
On my part, you always do well.
Well, I don't know.
But I'm awkward and don't know what to say when we start.
You're something.
I mean, I feel like if you were our guest, you would realize how awkward it truly is. Now at this point, we've gotten to the awkward part.
If it wasn't awkward to begin with, we're going to
make it awkward. Right, yeah, I made sure we got to the awkwardness.
That's right. Well, tonight we are interviewing Alina Sage. Hi, Alina.
Hello, hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm happy
Thank you
to
for
be
doing
here.
This.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Laura, do you know Alina from...
The first Sunday, my husband and I were there. It was back when there was only one service at 10:15. And he was like, hey, look, there's another interracial couple
yes!
over there. And
yes!
I turned around, and they were both looking at us.
Yes, probably. We were saying the same thing. Yeah. And we were like, hey, look.
Yeah.
And then Daniel was like, his hair is awesome.
Yeah. So there was like that moment of like, there's not just a bunch of white people here at this church. Mm-hmm. So... you were that person.
No. Very cool.
Yeah. And then I think we met shortly after and don't know each other super well, but I know I like you.
Yes.
Already. Yes. And I had the pleasure of working with Alina on the Women's Retreat Committee. And then also she was so sweet to help with the Seder dinner. And so she was one of those go-to people that was up there and helping all day long. And so I got to know her a little bit there. So we're excited to interview her today. She's fun.
Yes. So let's just tell us about yourself. So what we have as our official question is just basic bio.
Okay.
I sometimes can get a little bit too into the basic bio because I love hearing people's stories. So tell us as much or as little as you would like to about your childhood, teenage years, all to this point.
Okay. I'm Alina Sage. I'm from Dallas, grew up in this Richardson area, went to Westwood, well, Classical Magnet, Westwood, and Richardson High School. I am from a family of believers, a strong heritage. My grandma and grandpa love the Lord, and my parents do too. Mm-hmm. So we grew up in a home that just very loving. Everybody in middle school thought my dad was a pastor. He traveled for work, but he would show up at like my games in like his bow tie and his hat, you know,
aww,
but not a pastor.
So he didn't get kicked out of YMCA basketball
games. No.
He did
not the Rod Father. Yes. But yeah, so.
And his name's the Rod Father.
Well,
that's his nickname.
Well, that is the nickname that the guys in my youth group gave him.
Nice.
They called him Rodzilla or the Rodfather, because my dad's pretty big.
Dad got called Special Ed.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
He is, though. We love him. He's so, like, he's
he
such a neat
special.
Guy.
Yeah.
He is.
Special Ed Wimpy.
Yes, that's
Wimpy.
Right.
Wimpy, yes.
He is. Anyway, the Rodfather did not get kicked out of basketball
games.
He did not.
I brought up my dad just because he and my mom both have been really instrumental in my faith. I mean, my dad reads through the Bible at least twice a year, like front to back. And, you know, they're
even
always
Leviticus.
Studying. Even Leviticus.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so just very knowledgeable. You can go to them with questions. And so grew up here in Richardson. Parents loved the Lord. Was saved at a young age. I think I was in the third grade. And it was preteen camp. It was either, I don't remember exactly. Some people remember, and I kind of wish that I did, but I don't have a good memory. but it was either preteen camp or GA camp. And GA is Girls in Action. Yeah. It's like Girl Scouts.
Super Baptist.
For Baptists. Yes. Wow. Yes. And so, yeah, I just remember praying one night with my parents, you know, and they were all so excited and Mom was crying. And then I remember like walking down the aisle at church, you know, to go tell the pastor.
Making
the statement of faith. Yes. And so, yeah, I'm one of three girls. I'm the middle. I have an older sister. She's 5.5 years older, and she lives in L.A. Mm-hmm. And then I have a younger sister who's around 2 years younger, and she lives in Miami. So we're literally stretched across the country in birth order.
And you stuck close to home.
I stay close to home, yes. Mm-hmm. I went to a private school in Colorado where I played volleyball.
I keep meaning to tell you we need to like get her to coach our girls. Like,
well, I saw your daughter walk in and was like, oh my gosh, yes,
the legs.
Yes, she looks.
I didn't know that one about you. I felt like I knew quite a bit about you, but not that.
Yeah. So, but all that to say, yeah, I went to school in Colorado, and then I didn't have a job, and my parents, they told all of us, you know, you guys are more than welcome to come home and live here and work. And so I definitely took them up on that offer.
Yeah.
So I went home and actually worked and lived with them until I got married.
What'd you major in?
My degree is in biology.
Oh, okay. So perfect fit because you're a drug rep. And she totally looks like a drug rep.
Oh.
That's a compliment. So nice. When I was doing ER, I remember one time describing to the attending physician, like after I had done a physical exam of a patient, I was like, she's the one that looks like a drug rep.
Yeah. And then they
I know which one that is. Yeah.
I've been working with
they look good.
I have three girls. I've been working with the girls about like talking about we see what God sees. And what does God see? He sees the heart and he sees these attributes, and we've really been talking about that.
So
especially as bathing suit season is upon us, and I'm making all sorts of decisions about if they can wear two pieces or not.
Yeah.
We've been talking about what God sees, and God sees the inside, and they know what that means. That being said, yes, you are very beautiful.
Oh,
your outside
you.
Is very, very beautiful, and so is your inside.
Thank
you. So you just got the whole package.
Oh,
and you
play
volleyball. Well, goodness. And you majored in biology.
Well, it's so funny because I am not like a math minded, like the mathematical sciences I did not do well in. I'll just put that out there. But I love animals. I love nature. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll major in this. And so after I graduated, I thought, you know, I kind of want to go to vet school. Mm-hmm. So I worked for a vet,
I'm
a year.
An animal science major. That's what my undergrad is.
You are? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool.
But when people ask me in college, like, oh, so do you love animals? I'm like, they're okay.
Really?
Yeah. I like Steve. I mean,
yeah.
I really like Steve, but I'm not an animal lover. I was in that because I was like, it's the responsibility of human life felt a little bit too heavy for me. And then now I'm a PA, so I'm like, I can still, like, always kick it to the physician. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I got some of the weight, but, like, you know, I got a backup.
I have whatever we're going to call my edit alert quickly. It's super quick. I think vets are some of the kindest, gentlest souls on the planet. And having had put down two dogs at this point.
Oh, man.
They are so sweet. And the Arapaho Road Animal Clinic that we go to, not a sponsor. Still getting a plug.
But you could sponsor us.
I like that we have to specify that
I
they're not a sponsor
Richardson,
because we have so many sponsors.
I use Richardson Veterinary Clinic. Also not a sponsor, but they could be.
They've sent me letters with the whole staff that has signed. And the vet, like, has specifically written something about our dog and something he remembers about us. It's the sweetest thing.
Yes,
mostly because my husband, who I've seen maybe cry a handful of times in 14 years, and I look like we might be having a nervous breakdown as we've had to take our dogs. So they're like, we need to make sure these people are mentally stable.
Yeah.
But they're so sweet. And I could see you doing that because I can tell how much you love your dog.
That was a serious edit alert because all she said was that she thought maybe she wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
Well,
I went all
she
in.
She is not a veterinarian.
I brought it back to how sweet she is.
Well, you're
way
so
to
nice.
Circle
it
back.
That actually fits into my story because that was one of the reasons I decided not to be a vet, because that part was so difficult. I worked for Dr. Pereira, and he's at Banfield by Super Target.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
yep.
And he was a great doctor, but I just kind of got tired of seeing. I mean, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, this family came in, and this guy is so big, and they had to put down their big German Shepherd, and I was like, I don't really know if this is for me.
Yeah, I don't want to get traumatized every week.
Yeah. While we're in the edit alerts of animal science / veterinary medicine, I'll let you guys know why I didn't become a vet. So the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college, I worked for Dr. Tuberville in Shreveport, Louisiana. And he was like an old school vet. He did none of that nonsense. There was no birthday cards for animals.
Oh, man.
Because he was like a large animal vet that, because there was less of a market for large animal vets, mm-hmm. also saw mm-hmm. smaller vets or smaller animals. So anyway, I remember he had never hired a girl to work, because he did a lot, he did still do some large animal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, macho society among vets, or used mm-hmm. to be. Now there's more women vets than there were men. But anyway, he wasn't sure if he was going to hire a girl. And back in the 90s, that was an okay thing to say.
Right. Yeah. He could call you girl or like sugar.
He didn't. That was so weird. He didn't. But anyway, he was not convinced he was going to hire a girl, just because there was some manual labor involved mm-hmm. with the larger animals. And anyway, so he let me come on spring break. So it wasn't the summer. It was the spring break before that. So he let me come for spring break and work for him on a trial basis to just see if he would hire me for the summer. And so I did. And when we were there, there was this couple that were super like, this dog is their baby kind of people.
Yeah.
And it was I think it was like a Doberman that they were puppy that they were getting the ears clipped.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we put the dog to sleep, clipped the ears. They got a cone on his head. Dr. Tuberville had put a like syringe in his mouth so that he doesn't like bite down on his tongue or something like this. And my job was to flip the animal over every 30 minutes so that he didn't like get fluid buildup and get mm-hmm. pneumonia or something while he was asleep. So, and remember, Dr. Tuberville is not the kind of doctor that is writing happy birthday cards mm-hmm. to your pet.
Yeah.
So he's not like an alarmist by any means. Like, these are animals, like because he was a livestock kind of vet, mm-hmm. you know, this is just an animal. Okay. So, the dog's name was Kaiser, and I kept flipping.
I remember the dog's name.
Well, it was a, you know, like, yeah, don't worry. Kaiser. Mm-hmm. So I kept flipping Kaiser over, and I've told this story many times. Anybody that's like an old school, like college friend that listens to us just because they love me will have heard this story many, many times. But that Kaiser, about the third or fourth time I went in there to flip him over, woke up. And he's got the syringe in his mouth. He's got this cone on his head. And he starts like wildly banging his head against the side of the crate. And the syringe flies out, and I see this bloody glob fly across the room and land on the floor. Now, this is like kind of dimly lit room. It's mostly just like sunlight, but it's very dark in there. And so I look over there, and I was like, oh my gosh, Kaiser bit his tongue off. So I go, and Kaiser kind of is still kind of a little bit wigging, and there's a bunch of blood like on the newspaper that he is sitting in. And so I go up front and I'm like, Dr. Tuberville, Kaiser's waking up and he's like very unsettled. I did not want to tell him under my care and watch the dog has bitten his tongue off. Because I felt like maybe he wouldn't hire me. Okay.
It was just too much personal responsibility.
And so anyway, he kind of is like, okay, whatever. And then he continues doing what he's doing, talking to these people, whatever. He is not alarmed about the Kaiser situation. He doesn't realize that Kaiser's bleeding out from the tongue, you know, being bitten off. Right. And so I, you know, I wait as long as I possibly can. And then I'm like, Dr. Tupperville, I really think you need to come check on Kaiser.
And his amputated tongue.
And his amputated tongue, which is laying on the dirty floor. And so Dr. Tupperville comes back there. He pops a syringe out with like some kind of sedative, pops it into Kaiser's back, and turns around and walks off. Doesn't notice the tongue on the floor or all the blood in the cage. And I'm like, this is where it's like, who are you as a person? Are you the person that just like lets the dog bleed to death? Or are you the person that alerts Dr. Tupperville that the dog has potentially bitten his tongue off? Now, I went somewhere in the middle. So I wasn't like, I have known for 30 minutes that the dog has bit his tongue off and it's laying here on the floor. So, but I went with, Dr. Tupperville, what's that? Oh. And he walks over there.
I saved the day. Look what I've
noticed. Exactly, right. I'm the hero in this story. So this would be one of those shame stories, okay, that we're talking about, like my shame. Dr. Tupperville walks over to the bloody glob, picks it up, and he goes, oh, it's a bloody cotton ball, plops it in the trash and walks off. So the dog had cotton balls stuffed in his ears. His
tongue was intact.
His tongue apparently was intact. He was not bleeding out. It was just the bloody cotton ball, and when he was banging it around.
That was a great story. But did you just give me a hard time about my stretch? I'm
saying there is nothing about that story that is related to Alina other than she told us why she didn't become a vet. I have now told y'all why I have not become a vet. I think the world rejoices that I am not a veterinarian based on that story.
And it was a good story.
Thank you.
Now, back to Alina.
Yes.
We apologize for our tangents. So you brought us up to post-college, back living with parents.
How'd you meet your husband?
Yes.
So Daniel and I met at the Village. We were both going to the Village. Oh my gosh, let's see. I graduated in 2008. I think I started going to the Village in 2009 or 10. Mm-hmm. And then we met in 2011. And we met through mutual friends. So he was friends with this one guy, and I was friends with this guy's roommate, and they had a BCS championship game watching party. It was the year Auburn played Oregon. And at the time, I was working at Barney's New York because I was a stylist for 7 years before I had gotten to pharmaceutical sales. And so I had walked in from work. It was like 9:30 or something. And I walked into this house and kind of scanned the room and was like, okay, I know everybody here except these three guys, but I don't really care because I was excited to see my girlfriend. So I plopped down on the couch, and the couches are in like an L shape. And so my two girlfriends are sitting on one side, and then Daniel is on the end of the other one, of the other sofa. And so I sit down, and then there's a bowl of chips on the table, and I plop it into my lap and I'm talking, you know. And I didn't know this, he told me afterwards, but he had put his leg up on the coffee table so that if I walked by, I would have to say hi to him.
Oh, that's
so he had seen me at church.
That's a player move right there.
Born player.
Born player.
That was tattooed on your friend's...
chesticles, yes.
Chesticles.
See, there's a moment.
I know.
Something I say in my real life that I shouldn't say on a podcast. Sorry,
anyway, Daniel's a born player.
Yes, he is. And so that was how we met.
Wait, did he have his leg up? Did you have to walk past?
Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, I don't even remember if I did. I guess I did because he told me afterwards that he did that on purpose. Yes.
Nice. Yes.
By design.
So now y'all started talking that night and he got your number.
Started talking that night and I was leaving town the next day to go to Colorado to visit some friends. Mm-hmm. We had a little trip and I got back and I have to tell y'all, I hadn't seen Daniel at church ever. I got back from the trip and went to a birthday party and it was at a bowling alley and he was there.
Mm.
And I'm like, like, this is that same guy, you know?
This is the guy with the leg.
Yeah, this is that guy. No, but I didn't know that, you know? But so,
Which he's really cool. He's very chill, he's a cool guy. Laid back, mm-hmm. like, just good. If I was not a believer, I might say something like, he's got a good energy.
He does, yeah. Daniel's very chill.
He's just
very
cool.
Chill. Yeah.
Maybe he's a 9.
I don't know. He took it. I don't know. Because part of me is like, he's an 8. Mm-hmm. But then
really?
He took it. And I think he needs to retake the test or just read the book.
We're talking about Enneagram.
Yeah,
again.
Sorry. Enneagram.
We're all in an Enneagram Bible study together.
Yeah.
We're using air quotes on Bible study. Sort of.
Yeah, but I don't know. He has gotten a 2 before, but I don't know. I think he needs to redo
it. He ain't got 2.
Yeah. He might be, but...
You know, anybody I like can't be a 2. That's not true. Sorry, 2s. But I feel
there's
like...
There's some counter-transference going on
there. Really is. Yeah. I need to stop.
That's so funny.
Anyway,
yeah.
How long did y'all date before you got married?
Yes, we met on January 9th, 2011, and he proposed on January 9th, 2012. We got married on June 22nd, 2012, so we had a short engagement.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, he told his dad, I want to say it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks after we had met, mm-hmm. that he could marry me. Mm-hmm. Not that he wanted to, because there are still questions that he needed answered.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But that he thought that he could.
Aw, that's sweet.
So I found that out,
and
he
like,
did.
Oh, wow.
And he
sure
did.
He got those questions answered.
Yeah.
Put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have been married for 6 years?
6 years in a few weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or what are y'all doing for your anniversary? Really, will it be Papa Do's? Will it be anything as fancy as that?
It might be. I really would love to go see The Lion King, and so I think we're going to go do that.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So, yeah.
Fun. Okay, so sometimes I feel like in these podcasts we kind of dismiss the post-marriage life, but I think we can also hit that with some of the other questions.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because it definitely is still part of your story. And
yes.
It's not like once you get married, you've arrived and life ends and everything's
yes.
fine in a fairy tale. But that being said, a few of the other questions are, how long have you been at DBC? And how did you come to know Jesus? Which you already kind of told us. I shouldn't ask that.
Yeah, that's right.
You did third grade. You said you don't remember exactly.
I don't
GA camp,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yes, or preteen camp.
How long have you been at DBC?
Pre-teen,
I just heard this, but our listeners...
Was it called preteen camp?
It was called preteen camp. And then when you were in the seventh grade, you went to Sunday's camp. And it was all at Mount Lebanon.
Oh.
Is this like a typical Baptist thing? Or was this just like your church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you went full on. Are your parents still at the same church you grew
mm-hmm.
up in?
She, and we got married in that church. And the church is across from Watermark.
It's that Baptist church along the service road, like between Coit and Hillcrest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've passed it a million times.
I know that because she told me that before. And that church has been on my radar since I moved to Dallas because I've drove past it a million times.
And your parents are there, but your dad is not the pastor.
He's not the pastor.
Well, how long have you been at DBC?
I think it's been about 2 years.
Okay. That's
and how's
y'all
end up there?
So we're at the village and, you know, have a great group of friends, awesome community there. But we were wanting something smaller and more intimate. My husband is very gifted and with finance and loves helping people and, you know, had helped everybody in our small group with their budgets and wanted to take it to the next level. But he wanted a platform to be able to do that. And that is just a small example. Just
how
wanting
cool
to be
he
able
is.
To...
I'm good.
We got to finish this bottle.
And Alina's not drinking. Mm-hmm. So she's just holding the bottle and gesturing with it.
Just a teaspoon. But yeah, so we just wanted something where we could really get involved in...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which we've talked multiple times about the many things we love about DBC.
Mm-hmm.
But the size, and I know we're growing, but the size and the intimacy is one of my favorite things.
Sure.
Just that it's really easy to know people and that, I mean, even just Kristen wanting to highlight women that they know. I think I've shared before that on our first Sunday there, Aaron Armstrong came up and said hi. Like, I love that you're known at that church.
You know, you said you were listening to the podcast that we did with Paula Quadrado earlier today. we didn't do the podcast. Alina was listening to it earlier today. But the potential title for Paula's podcast was going to be You Are Not Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
But because Paula told a story in that about how they came to reengage and they were one of seven people.
Yeah.
into the room. But it is, it's not just because it's small, but it is small enough that, like, you really are seen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got, and we all do, gifts that God has given us, they show up there in a way that you can't hide them.
Yes.
So would you tell us a little bit about the ways that you serve at DBC and the ways that God has uniquely gifted you?
Yeah. So
I already know some of them.
I love people, and I love having people in my home. I think I got a lot of that from my mom, just growing up. We always had people in our house.
It's a little bit of hospitality.
Yes, and so I just really like people to make people feel welcome and safe, and that they have,
which
that they matter.
Our small group leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were chatting a little bit before this earlier, that's a big undertaking. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it has to be, I think you have to be uniquely gifted to do it. And I think you have to be really convicted to do it. Because it's not always easy.
It isn't easy. A lot of prayer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So just making people feel welcome.
And so you all lead your small group, is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah. We love our small group. Those people became very dear to us very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's really special. I love arts and crafts, all things crafty. If you come to my home, it's like DIY, found that in the curb, slapped some paint on it, you know, sewed this together, recovered these cushions.
No, I've shown my husband Facebook things. I'm like, she took this and made it this, because that is so amazing to me.
Oh, thanks. You can come over. We can make some stuff together.
I think I hit you up a few years ago because I knew my limitations.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, will you please style a photo shoot for my family?
Yes.
Because I have no skill in that area. We will all be wearing jeans and white shirts and look like what everybody else looks like if
no.
I'm left in charge.
You can do the khaki pants and a
that's
black
right.
shirt.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you
right.
know what? It's funny.
No, I got on Pinterest and had to look up like ideas for family photo shoots.
That is super funny. I feel like I have very little. But that's not that entire shoot. I am a minor league crafter, but I'm more of a think of needlework. Ooh, I'm good at needlework. So
okay,
like crochet, embroidery, like that kind of stuff. I'm good at. The seven in me, the enthusiast in me is a jack of all trades and master of none.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely get her done. I might not get her done perfect.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've always prided myself on is the way I dress my family for a family picture.
Oh,
isn't
that funny?
Because I'm like, no, I don't just do a pop of color. Like, we're all wearing one little pop of yellow. I'm like, no. I'm like, my game is on point. I will show you later.
Well,
and you will like,
I am
actually good at it because it looks natural, not like we all decided to wear yellow. That's not how I do. I don't do that like one of us, we each have a yellow accent or something. I don't do like that. But I'll show you. I like it.
I feel like you're speaking a foreign language and you lost me at embroidery. I'm not good at any of that.
No, but maybe you didn't come from a long line of needle workers. So some people were cross stitchers, some people were embroiderers, some people were crocheters, but all of the women in my family do needlework. I do all of them. Crochet is my, like, that's my A game.
Yeah. That's your jam.
That's my jam.
And
yeah.
Your jam is finding things that I would see
Are you a
that
junker?
Should belong in a junkyard and making it something beautiful.
I love trade days at Canton.
hey, we did, let's no. do it. You let's go. You know her mom?
Oh my gosh, my mom has a business out there. Like,
she does.
Oh, it's like more the white trash side, not the crafting side.
Oh gosh.
But like, she rents mobility scooters.
But yeah. we could maybe even get a deal on a mobility scooter and ride around.
That's just Gayla would hook us up.
Yeah, like would your mom give? Oh my gosh, could y'all see us three abreast riding yes. mobility scooters?
Can I tell y'all how much I dislike the mobility
no,
scooters?
No, but I'm like, but I just want to see like a game,
just a picture
of Laura Pace, yes. Alina Sage, and Jessica Denny riding game. like please. Riding scooters through Canada.
Oh my gosh, no, we should yes! go because I love seeing the eyes. Seeing the world through the eyes of somebody who is crafty
yeah.
and artistic, because that is so not me. And I am always amazed by it, to the point of forcing my anti-Facebook husband to look at Facebook posts of what you have accomplished artistically.
Oh, that's
and I think
really
that
nice.
Is a gift. You I think that is, I do, I mean, because it's so not me and because it's true, I think that is a way that God has uniquely gifted people.
Oh yeah, and so when you if you see what Alina did, like with the tables, like at the Seder dinner, so cute, mm-hmm. so cute. You did it because of your four children and one of them always being sick every single.
There was
week.
Like legitimate projectile vomit, or else you know I wouldn't have failed.
I didn't think you failed. I'm just saying you didn't get to bear witness to the beautiful
yeah,
table settings.
I have too
did.
Many babies.
That's
yes,
really nice. That's.
Well, it was sort of funny because, I'm bragging on my ability to dress my family for a photo shoot, but let me tell you what, Jamie Grant and I had a conversation, I probably told you this,
but like, we were like, how are we going to serve this chicken? I'm like, what if each table just came and got one of the bags of rotisserie chicken and carried it to their table, and they just tore pieces off of it with their bare hands, like cannibals.
She was like,
not cannibals, but barbarians.
Yeah, like the Vikings.
Right, and
days.
She was like, I feel like we can do a better job on presentation. And I'm like, meh. You know? Presentation.
But let me
like,
show you this family photo.
But let right. me show you this family photo. Right, so there's things that I'm like, I need people like Alina around me, and apparently I need Jamie Grant too to go, hey, look, we are not barbarians, and we don't have to be like total utilitarian in the way that we feed the people.
Yeah.
Well, I think that artistry and crafting is a gift because it can speak to a part of people's brains that sometimes in our culture doesn't get spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
That they can walk into a women's luncheon and see your beautiful table with like, I think I heard you say once that a branch was your inspiration and it was beautiful. That can speak and be spiritually meaningful to somebody, or at the very, like, just to be drawn to you and to hear your wisdom. So I love that that's a unique gift of yours.
Yeah, thank you.
How do you, thanks. Like, I think we've mentioned a few things, but how else do you think God has used your
gifts?
Your gifts in yeah, your gift in the body.
Well, I mean, I've helped do things for women's retreat, and you said, you know, the Seder dinner.
well, I see you you're in everything. Like, you're a small group leader, you're hosting tables, you're helping with the women's thing. I'll see you in something else. Like, I've seen you approaching women in our church saying, like, asking for good wisdom. Like, I know that I've seen you, like, talk to Annie Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, you seem like you're constantly seeking ways to serve and grow.
Yeah, I try to, at least. I just really do love people. So that is, you know, I really am just drawn to a bunch of different types of people and just people who don't really feel like they have a place.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, I might be a seven, might be a two with a three wing. I'm not sure, but I would say over the past,
we're gonna find out.
We're
this
gonna,
summer,
we
sure
will
are.
Find out. And I was like kind of overwhelmed, just like I don't feel like I'm any of these, and I feel like I'm all of them,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I would say over the past maybe like 4 years, I've become a little more introspective, and I've
mm-hmm.
realized that, you know, I don't want to stay where I am in my faith. And, you know, the Lord has surrounded me by so many awesome women, especially at DBC. I mean, everybody is so friendly, and I feel like I could
mm-hmm.
go up and talk to anybody, you know, and they would be like, sure, I'll share this part of my
mm-hmm.
life with you. And
that's
so I just wanted to kind of capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I mean, and that's what I've seen you doing. So you're not just saying that, you're living that out. What we haven't touched on is what you do. I mean, we did early a little bit because we talked about how pretty you are.
You guys are so nice.
What you do for a living and how you think God like uses that.
Yeah. So I'm in pharmaceutical sales in the dermatology world. I call on derms and a few podiatrists in Dallas and Fort Worth and everything.
So what's your drug? You do fungal?
I actually don't. So my biggest product is called Neosinilar. It's a combination antibiotic steroid cream for any dermatosis with a secondary infection. So
you sound like some smart biology major.
Really not.
so that what's the podiatrist? I feel like they would be like antifungal kind of.
So pods will use Neosinilar on the feet, like in between the toes. It's something if they're worried about a staph infection.
Or you got after like pickers. They have like the athlete's foot that kind of gets infected because mm-hmm. they're picking and
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, there's a handful mm-hmm. of places, you know, where podiatrists mm-hmm. can use it. So, yeah, and I I really love my job. I love that. You know, I'm in so many different offices every day, and I'm talking to so many different people every mm-hmm. day, and so I think that it is a great playing field for me to mm-hmm. use my gifts. And I started praying probably like a year into this job. I haven't been doing it for that long. October will be 3 years, but a year in, I was like, okay, I'm here for a reason. And I definitely want to stand out. And so I started praying that the Lord would just make me a light in the offices, you know, mm-hmm. and that would be, you know, mm-hmm. I would walk through the doors and people would see Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. when they saw me. Because that's really what's going to set me apart, you right. know. And I want, of course, we all want people to like us, but mm-hmm. I really do want people to love Jesus in me, you mm-hmm. know. And so wow. that's kind of how... And it's not always easy. I mean, you know, like,
oh,
there's yeah. frustrating things all the time at work, but it just kind of helps me. It's like my foundation mm-hmm. and grounds. Keeps me grounded because it can get rough. Well, it's rough out there on
yes,
the streets.
Yeah, and I think it can be a tough job and mm-hmm. To be, like, pitching a certain drug and to mm-hmm. go into a place where maybe you don't know anybody, and I just, that would not be... something that's easy.
Although maybe that's the seven. Let's do a little clink,
yes.
bink, and mm-hmm. me, and potentially you are potentially. You know, I'm a PA, so I get a lot of drug reps visiting me too, and we get to the place where we feel like the drug reps are our friends, like
mm-hmm. yeah,
like because yeah. they come, and maybe that's more. I don't know if that's true with derm, mm-hmm. but in psychiatry. We basically have a drug rep visit us every day, like mm-hmm. sit, like have lunch with us every single day. Mm-hmm. So we like they're like our lunch break friends, and so we're like just yeah. sitting and you know chatting and
yeah.
But it is neat because they do provide such a great service. To me, it's like it's just a reminder of all the new things that are out there mm-hmm. and different ways we can treat patients that
absolutely.
Kind of fall off our radar if we don't get reminded, but.
Absolutely. And you know,
so I love seeing them because they do end up becoming friends. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah. Some of these people, some of these providers and their office staffs that I call on, you know, I might see them more than some of my friends because mm-hmm. I'm in their offices weekly. And so mm-hmm. it does become it's really
they almost
interesting
feel like colleagues.
Yeah.
Co-workers.
It's yeah. interesting because you end up creating these relationships with these people that it's just a hard balance, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I really care about you. And, you know, like my partner and I, one of our PAs just had a baby last week, mm-hmm. you know, and like we got her a gift and they just become really dear to you.
Well, and so, I mean, it sounds like just right there that you're saying they're dear and you're getting gifts for their babies. And right there, God's using your giftedness about caring for people. With just what you do at work, not necessarily with your task, but with the way you interact with other people.
Yeah. And I'm guessing Alina Sage does not hand people gifts in a Target bag unwrapped. Like Jessica.
No, she uses a tree branch and makes it beautiful.
Yeah. I have sometimes handed my friends gifts in a Target bag, like, here's the gift I have for you.
presentation other than the photo of the family is not my A game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, grab the rotisserie chicken by the leg and plop it on the table.
Alina Sage would never do that.
No, she would not.
Well, I mean, sometimes running tight on time. So I went to one of my sweet friends had a birthday dinner on Friday, and I was like, I can't find any bags. I don't have any bags small enough, so I just was like, this tissue paper is cute, just kind of wrapped it
there
up.
There you go.
Made it look like a piece of candy.
That's, but, hey, okay, you don't even, even your procrastinating looks better than whatever I could come up with.
No.
I still, as a grown-up, have not figured out how to, like, wrap a box properly.
It's hard.
Yeah, I'm better at gift bags. I know Lydia thinks, Lydia's my daughter, she thinks I can fluff gift paper well, too. So maybe I do have, like, a unique giftedness from the Lord.
That's,
she's like, will you fluff, like, last week when we gave teacher appreciation, will you fluff the paper? I feel like you do such a good job at it.
Oh.
I you know.
Set fluffing. That bar low.
She said something like, that's right, Mama. Although she's also said to me, Mom, do you want to watch Dancing with the Stars? I'll turn on the TV since it's hard for you.
Oh my gosh.
It is hard for me. I told Kyle I want to harken back to the days where you'd really just got to press a button and then I could
turn the knob.
All this technology is too much. It's too much for me.
So. You're spending your efforts in making family attire attractive for pictures.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, okay, so tell us what you're, and I feel like we have to be really careful when we say this, because I don't know how it's playing on the podcast, but what would your big ask...
With the K.
With your big ask prayer.
What would your big ask prayer be?
I would say right now just wisdom in the direction I'm supposed to go with my job. Mm. So I recently became a spin instructor.
Which is so awesome. And I really... Like, when you posted that, I put in my calendar Alina spin class because I really want to go. It's on my phone. Yes.
Yeah. And so I really love it. I mean, people are probably like, how can you add anything else to your schedule when your goal this year was to say no?
She's a seven.
To simplify, Annie was probably like, Annie's my mentor. She was probably like, we talked about simplifying, but I figured... I really love doing it, and I'm doing it in the morning anyway. I might as well make a buck and help
there
some
you
people,
go.
You know? And so, but I'm really excited about that, but then just balancing that with my current job and then maybe starting a family soon. And so just kind of wisdom and guidance in that. Mm-hmm. And I really have a heart for, again, for people and women. And so... I'm just trying to hear from the Lord on what He actually wants me to do, because I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. I mean, obviously I'm here. I'm supposed to be here right now, but like long term, I don't know if God wants me to stop working and just like have Bible studies at my house, you know, or I don't know.
So
start some ministry or be pour into one ministry more. I don't know.
When we were talking, earlier at the Enneagram Bible study that we're doing, did any of that resonate with you when I was talking about like that, can you say no? And
yes.
I'm like, sure I can say no.
I don't know
no.
if you heard me. I like leaned forward when you started talking about that because I relate to that 100%.
Like you think 100%. You can say no, but you don't say no to anything that sounds remotely interesting.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, this would be fun, you know, or I would really love to help with this. You know, that's so cool. An awesome cause. And so.
thank God for those sevens, because then they say yes whenever I've said yes to something like, well, I've like the Seder, and then the sevens like that Alina is like, sure, I'll spend my whole day Saturday and Sunday doing
getting ready for it. Yeah.
Getting ready for this. Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like
sounds like fun.
Well, I think that makes y'all, and maybe me, because I don't know what number I am, but optimistic and hopeful and very open and welcoming to what God's going to do in those experiences. And
while we run from our inner pain.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is why, back to the Enneagram, which is why I'm wondering if I am a 7, because I feel like I've tapped more into that, you know, my own feelings and really like processing how I'm thinking, because you know, it's so easy for us
maybe
to do all these things and then
7.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to that too. I mean, obviously the Enneagram is all about what your motivations are. But just being, whether you're into the Enneagram or not, just being aware of what is motivating you. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not trying to be cheesy. I definitely don't want another
purpose-driven.
Come on, Laura.
Cheese us
never
out. Cheese us out.
But I think
shoot
that's
Christian say. Okay. Go ahead. Throw down a shoot Christian say.
I feel like that's a reflection of your openness to what God has for you. That you're really, this is another one, holding what your future looks like with an open hand, saying, God, what do you have for my career? God, what do you have for the timeline of what we're going to do with our family? And that you're just saying, if you want me to quit and open up my home for Bible studies, I will do that. That you just don't have a lot of skin in the game for doing something that God doesn't want you to do.
Laura,
what's
that mantra that I say all the time? Let's just see what happens.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's just
there's
see
an
what happens.
There's intentionality with how you're approaching that to see, not just let's see what happens, but let's see what God does.
Yeah.
And I think that can be really hard. I think that can be because we do get our ego involved. We do get, hey, I'm 3 years into this career.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to look like? And and so I love seeing your openness to just saying, God, this is you. This is your destiny. I want people to see you in me.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you want that to look like, please let me walk through that with grace and willingness.
Yeah. I'm trying to have that mindset at least.
Alina, can you think of a time? I think Alina's like cold call. Like I mean, she knows she was going to be interviewed by us, but I don't think we even sent her the questions. We're like, nah, she can handle it. But
I did send her the questions.
Oh, you
did? I did it like at like 6.
I looked at them when I pulled up, and I was like, oh, no.
No.
But I did say, no pressure. I know you'll do great without having looked at
them. It's funny. Although I told Laura, I literally said to Laura, let's just see what happens in the text.
Which I feel like this one more than others. We went way off the rails.
Well, what happens is we tell lots of irrelevant stories. That's what happens.
We know that now.
Yeah, we know that now. But what I was going to ask you has now like flipped out of my mind. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Can you think of a time where God has showed up in a big way in your life?
Yes.
I think that's a question that I love to hear that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But just
yeah, so I was thinking about this actually because y'all asked Paula this too. So I'm generally a very positive, happy, upbeat person, but I had a bad injury last year, and I couldn't work out or do really anything for about 9 months, almost a year. And that was really, really, really hard for me. I had never experienced any type of depression. And just kind of like, what's going on? Gained a bunch of weight, you know, in all of that process. And so the Lord was really, really sweet to me. It's so neat that the Lord knows us so well and he knows how we will hear from him. I have a hard time sitting. I'm a doer. I'm always doing something. So that was especially hard for me because I couldn't do very much. But the Lord knew that he would need to speak to me through my friends. And so they were so instrumental in just the encouragement and the prayer and the healing and all of that process. That was like really special for me. I felt like that really difficult season, the Lord grew my faith because he revealed himself in a way that was very specific and catered to my needs and the way that I'm wired. And so, does that kind of answer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was, yeah.
No, I think that's a fantastic answer, and it's, you know, that's huge, but it's also mm-hmm. little. And mm-hmm. I love that God shows up in those little details of just saying, this is how you're wired. You're very clearly a people person, and I want you to hear from your people some mm-hmm. encouragement when you're feeling really discouraged. And I, like I said, we don't know each other really well, but I remember when you were walking through that mm-hmm. and you were staying positive and hopeful. But it was hard. That's hard. And you kind of start realizing what part of my identity is tied up in this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad that you listened to people, that you didn't withdraw, and that God was able to kind of champion you through that really tough experience, like tough and just what could be really discouraging. And I also just remember that Daniel was amazing.
Yes.
In that time.
Yes. God has given me a very good man. Mm-hmm. This is related, but you don't know the story, but we went to Yosemite last year for our 5-year anniversary, and this was kind of in the middle of my injury. And he is like all about hiking and rock climbing, and so I was like, okay, we're gonna do this and it's gonna be awesome. Well, we were doing like 16-mile hikes.
Oh, serious?
Yes, in a day. And so I think it was like the second day we were in Yosemite, we hiked up, I don't even remember what it was, but I cried for over half of the hike because I was in so much pain. But I wanted it to be so much fun for him, but he felt bad because I was trying to, you know, muster mm-hmm. through it. And he, like every 3 steps, was asking me how I was doing and was encouraging me. And he was like, we've gone this far, we're going to walk 10 more steps and we're going to stop at this rock mm-hmm. and we're going to have some Gatorade and we're going to eat this granola bar. I mean, he did that for 16 miles. And my heart just grew so much for my husband in that time because I was in excruciating pain. I mean, I couldn't walk. I could barely walk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're gonna climb this mountain together.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me. I can't now, because it's been a while. I can't remember if it's in the Samuels or the Kings, but there's a story about King David when they get the Ark of the Covenant back, and it says he can't take 6 steps without like stopping and dancing mm-hmm. and celebrating mm-hmm. and that they have it back. Mm-hmm. And that's that I don't know what that story is make me think, just every 6 steps.
He knew what you were doing for him.
Right. And he was able to
back into you and was patient and encouraging. And I mean, you were
every 6 steps
lit up after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember you saying, because I was just commenting on how beautiful your pictures were and how much fun it looked, and that was your takeaway, was just how amazing mm-hmm. he had been, which I think
that was,
y'all have a sweet marriage.
Thank you. It's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's been the common mm-hmm. thread in so many of the guests that we've had mm-hmm. is just marriage, that kind of closeness, doing life with somebody, it just changes you, and it can come with the greatest victories and the greatest challenges. Mm-hmm. And I think y'all, I mean, just the way y'all talk about each other when I've been around you, y'all are very complimentary of each other.
Thanks.
Well, I thank you for coming on and for coming on last minute, kind of. We moved you up 24 hours. And just being willing to share. And I, you know, we've been having, I think we've said this before, that we've had kind of a hard time. Not hard time. Some people are hesitant.
It did not occur to Laura and I that anyone would be reluctant to be interviewed.
Yeah, until last week when you were like, we're going to have to do you because no one's coming on. And I was like, wait, we should be able to find somebody else.
Yeah.
And my motivation in wanting to find somebody else was like, there has to be somebody who's better than me and more interesting than me and more gifted than me. But you are, I think you exemplify what we're doing, because you came on not wanting to talk about yourself, but you were really glorifying God. And that's what this is about, is We're telling God's story. We're not telling our own and what God's done for you. So we appreciate you.
Thank you.
And we just think you're great.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking for you, because I'm just assuming that no one could not think she's great.
Oh, I know. Thanks, you guys.
So it's been fun. Thank you so much, Alina. And thanks for joining us. And hope you join us next week on Embarrassment of Riches.
Bye.
Bye.